Whoa, g'day Maddies, WWE legend Bushwhacker Luke here. You're listening to another wrestling podcast. Whoa!
Oh man, I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Jonathan, you alright, buddy?
I've had better days.
What happened?
So, today's my day off, you know, and I was home alone. I thought I was anyway. And I decided to spend some time by myself, and I thought I'd just catch up on some light reading, one of my favorite, you know, magazines.
Oh, no.
You know, I started to read it. I read it for the articles, obviously.
Nobody reads it for the articles. Come on.
No, I mean, there's lots of good stories in there. There's, like, top 10 things. Yeah, I mean, you know where. So the door opens.
Oh no!
She catches me.
Oh.
Reading this magazine.
Which one was it?
Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
You're such a mark.
It's time for another wrestling podcast. With your hosts, Steve Credo and Jonathan Benjamin.
All right, everybody. Welcome to another wrestling podcast. This is episode 11. My name's Steve Credo.
I am Jonathan Benjamin.
And we're going to be your hosts yet again on another wrestling podcast. Guys, thanks for joining us today. We have a lot of great stuff we're going to be talking about today. But more importantly, we are also joined by Deborah McMichael Marshall. You know, she's known for more than just her puppies, Jonathan.
Yeah, but mostly her puppies.
Well, unfortunately for you, Jonathan, you're not going to be able to see any puppies today. You're just going to have to talk to her face to face or air to air. I don't know. How does that work?
Well, I mean, you think that, but right now I'm currently looking at her online, so.
Well, I guess we're going to have to break out the water gun for Jonathan and hose him down for a little bit. But guys, stay tuned. We have Deborah joining us in a few minutes. But if you're listening to us, if this is the first time you are joining us, Jonathan, what are we about? What are they listening to?
You know, we're not just like every other professional wrestling podcast. We're another wrestling podcast. So come to us for all of your professional wrestling interview needs. If you like just having fun and listening to pro wrestling, then we're your podcast.
That's right, Jonathan. I mean, we're trying to, you know, make light of some situations. We're trying to have fun with this. We're not trying to talk about what we just saw on TV 2 days ago. I mean, if you didn't watch it 2 days ago, then you got to go rewatch it. I mean, we don't want to rehash the same things everybody else is talking about, right?
No, and, you know, with our guests that we've had on, there are people that, you know, sometimes they haven't done a lot of interviews, and these are people that we definitely want to get their perspective on the business today, what they did whenever they were in the business, and, you know, just anything else that they have going on.
That's right. I mean, we're talking to past WWE stars. We're talking to some indie talent. We're talking about some wrestling schools in the area where we live. Anything and everything is going to happen on this show, Jonathan. So stick around. And if you want to find out more about us, instead of reading off a list of links right now, just go to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. You can find us. You can find everything out you need to on that site, anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. And we are joined by none other than Deborah McMichael Marshall right now.
Puppies.
We have an actress, a manager, and former WWE Women's Champion, none other than Deborah Marshall. Deborah, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you are very welcome.
Deborah, now, before we get into a lot of things, I mean, right off the bat, you were a 1992 Miss Texas USA a winner in the pageant. Can you tell us, you know, what would you consider harder, beauty pageants or pro wrestling?
You know what's interesting? I'm kind of like a cat. I have different lives. And so, you know, all the way with the beauty pageants and all that, I mean, that's still, you're dealing with some pretty tough females. As in, some beauty pageant females can be tough to deal with. But I'd say they probably both go neck and neck.
All right.
All right, so Deborah, you were a part of arguably the greatest era in professional wrestling, an era that everyone still talks about today, the Attitude Era. During the Attitude Era, something happened, and all of a sudden we started hearing more and more about puppies. And everybody who's listening knows exactly what we're talking about. Whose idea was it to get the puppies involved?
Well, I think it just kind of happened. It was not anything planned. And then it seemed like Jerry just said it, and then it just kind of went from there, and then it was just crazy how it took off.
Yeah, it was pretty much a staple in the Attitude Era, I guess you could say. Were you a fan of pro wrestling as a young girl, or did you just kind of walk into the business? You know, because I know you were kind of in the NFL with your ex-husband, dealing with, you know, the lives of NFL players. But I mean, did you have any idea what you were walking into?
No, I didn't. I mean, I can remember back when we lived in Green Bay with Skid Michael's final year. I remember that they had a house show there. I remember we stopped in, and then I remember Skid Michael did the Lawrence Taylor All-Pro team. Remember that back then?
Yep.
And I mean, I didn't watch it. I mean, I remember growing up as a kid in Alabama that it had the JC Fairground. It was like wrestling, and it would be like two rows of people, and it would be on a little small channel on TV. But I never really watched it. Because then my whole background too is because I lived in New York and studied at Strasburg. So when I was going into WCW, I was looking at it just like I'm performing. Mm-hmm. And I think in a way that probably helped me because I didn't have any guidelines to restrict me, because I was coming in there kind of more of a naive thinker about the business.
All right.
You know, I didn't have any guidelines on me. I just kind of did what I wanted to do.
All right.
Now, we hear at Another Wrestling Podcast, we hear that you are currently pursuing, or that you are finished getting your master's degree in criminal justice. Is that correct?
No, I'm currently halfway through it.
Okay.
I go back because I went this past semester and this summer, and I've been off for about a month, thank goodness. And I start back up Thursday.
Oh, wow. Well, with
so
that
I
being...
go to campus and sit in there with all the other grad students, and I love it.
Well, with that being said, I have to ask, which do you think is better, CSI, NCIS, Criminal Minds, or Law and Order?
You know, it's awful to say, I never watch TV, hardly.
Oh.
To be honest, the shows that I do watch, I watch the real detective shows, like the ones that are, say, like The Profilers, or ones like 48 Hours.
Okay.
The other ones, I just, and again, I stay so busy with my grad school, I don't have a whole lot of time to watch TV. But then again, when I do, it's always the real stories, you know, the reality type shows. I like those better. I'm sorry, I kind of was a buzzkill on that one.
Oh, no, that's great. It's good that you're actually, you know, you're taking this seriously. So that's a great answer.
Now, Deborah, you studied acting, right, in Texas, and you've even appeared in some commercials, music videos. You even had a small role in the 1994 film Texas Chainsaw Massacre: The Next Generation. Do you wish you would have done more in acting, or is there a role out there you wish you would have had?
Well, see, when I was married to Sid McMichael, I was fortunate enough to study. Well, I studied in Chicago, too, but then my main study and what I achieved when I moved to New York City, so I chose the Lee Strasberg Theater School, because that's the method actor. That's like where Marilyn trained and all the you know, the serious actors train. And so that's where, you know, I studied for a year there, and then I wanted to do soaps and stuff like that. So I did get my wish. I became a star in wrestling.
There you go. Are you still pursuing acting, or, you know, if it happens, somebody has the right script, would you hop right to another movie?
Well, right now my priority is grad school, because it's costing me a fortune.
All right.
To go to the University of Alabama. I mean, that is like a freaking, they keep raising my tuition every freaking semester. I'm like, good gosh, I've got to graduate, got to get out of here. But I can only, you know, because in this grad program, I have to keep my grades, you know, A's and B's. So it takes all my focus. So, but I plan when I graduate that I will, because I'm going to move. I'm in Tuscaloosa, Alabama right now, you know, where the University of Alabama is. But as soon as I graduate, I'm going to move away. And I'm thinking about Nashville. I'm going to definitely go to a bigger city, and I would love to pursue my acting again, but like on the theater, you know, because that's how I'm trained in the theater too. So I love acting. So
all right,
I definitely plan to pursue it when I'm through with my grad school.
Well, I think the accents are about the same from Alabama and Tennessee, so I don't think you'll have a problem blending in.
And you know what? I cannot lose this darn accent. I mean, I've lived up north for so many years, and I cannot lose it. But it's probably not happening that I'm back down here, you know, going to school.
Oh, yeah.
Alabama, so.
It happens to, well, me. I'm from the Midwest originally, so whenever I go home, it gets worse than whenever I'm here, because I'm now in the Northeast. But, yeah, it's, you can't really get rid of them.
No, I sound like Forrest Gump.
Now, we talked briefly about the Attitude Era, and during that time, lots of, you know, women were coming through the ranks. You had Luna and Sable and, you know, just all different types of women. And obviously, Sable got approached to do Playboy, and I was just wondering, because I don't know if I've ever heard this or not, but were you actually approached to do it, or did they volunteer, or I just don't know how that when it came about, actually.
Well, I know they approached me to be actually on the cover and to do that for Playboy, but I turned it down because, again, I mean, I had worked hard to win my two state titles of, you know, Mrs. Illinois America and then Mrs. Texas USA, and I took that stuff very seriously, you know, it was before wrestling, and I knew if I had posed, you know, if I had decided to do that and said yeah, then that would have actually taken my titles away, and that was, yeah, I turned down a lot of money, and that would have, you know, that was a great opportunity, and, you know, I know they make everyone look so pretty in those things, but you know what? I don't regret it. I would have had my titles taken away, and I'm kind of old school like that.
All right, perfect. I mean, you still look amazing today. You look like you never even aged. Is there something that you're doing that we're not doing out there? Because I saw you a few months ago in Rhode Island, and you looked amazing. I mean, what's the secret out there, Deborah? What are you doing that we're not doing?
Oh, well, thank you. You know what? I will say I've always been very athletic, and I don't smoke, never have, and I don't do drugs. So I think my genetics, too, like my daddy, my dad worked until he was 89 years old.
Huh.
So, and he was very athletic. And I think just the genes and the combination of, you know, I am a very healthy person, and I'm very happy. And I think all that kind of plays a part.
All right. Well, I got a question. If you could give any advice to any of the women right now that are coming up in the business, because like we said before, you know, you went through the Attitude Era, you were a big part of that, and a lot of crazy things happened back then. And I mean, there's a lot of girls out there right now who are training to be wrestlers, training to be, you know, valets, managers, all that. Is there any advice you would want to give them, you know, for up-and-coming women in the business?
Well, you got to know when you go into that business and have the expiration date. You know, especially as a woman, you know, then, you know, you can't go in and do this your whole life doing that. Mm-hmm. But you can't let people tell you you can't do it either. Like, you don't let people say, oh, well, you're too young, or you're too old, or you're too this, or you're too that. I think it's, you just do whatever your heart wants to do, and it's hard work, and you don't give up, and you have to be 200% dedicated.
All right.
Now, Deborah, you're no doubt one of the most memorable divas in professional wrestling history, not just the WWE.
Ah.
But well, I mean, the proof is in the pudding, as they say. So, what do you think you will like most be remembered for in professional wrestling?
Lord, probably I don't know how to shut my mouth sometimes, probably because I'm so sassy. I'm such a sassy person. I don't know. I know the Queen Deborah was a popular character with the WCW.
Yes.
But you know what? I don't know, to tell you the truth, because, you know, I've talked to different fans, and, you know, people remember the puppies, and, you know, people remember the Queen Deborah, people remember. So I guess I think it just depends on what fan you're talking to, what they find. What they remember about me.
All right. Now, Deborah, you were probably one of the greatest managers around, in my opinion. You've managed a lot of wrestlers, from Alex Wright, Dean Malenko, you know, Eddie Guerrero, Goldust, Jeff Jarrett, Owen Hart, Ric Flair, a lot of guys. You know, I can keep going on. One of my favorites, personally, is Owen Hart, and I'm a big Hart Foundation fan. I grew up watching them, and I was always a big fan of them. And we know with the, you know, the sudden passing of Owen Hart, he was well known for pulling pranks on other wrestlers. Do you have any good Owen Hart prank story you could let us know, or any other funny or memorable story about him?
No, I mean, it was just one funny thing after another and another, and he was just, I mean, I was just the nicest person, you know, and just, I mean, there was just so many of them, just so, it was just a joy to work around Owen, just, because you kind of never knew what he was going to do, and like I said, I probably one of my favorites, how he would always take your camera, like if you're at a meet and greet before the show, and the fans are there, and then he'd say, oh, let me take a picture with your camera, and then you take the person's camera. You know, back in those days, I had the camera. And then you'd act like the camera wasn't working. And then you'd have to, like, stand there. And, I mean, he'd stand there for, like, 10 minutes fiddling with the person's camera. And he's just messing with you. And you got to be like, and, you know, I'm like, touchy with my fans. So I'm there with my arms all around waiting.
That's great.
Now, you've mentioned, and we've talked about it a little bit, that you were in WCW before, and that you ultimately ended up in WWE. How was the experience different for you in WCW? We get a lot of horror stories coming out of WCW. It was very unorganized and all that. Did you feel that in WCW, or did you just enjoy your time at both places?
I just enjoyed my time at both places. I mean, I was just happy that I was performing, and I had a crowd, and I didn't think it was just, I mean, I think people will say good or bad about either company or whatever, you know, I don't know, nothing's perfect in life, and so I just enjoyed my time and was thankful, and I knew, you know, I was just happy that I was acting. I was a character. And I know it's sports entertainment, so I remember back then we weren't supposed to say that, but I know some people still don't like to say that, but it is, it's sports entertainment.
Yeah. Deborah, we keep saying it. I'm sorry we keep repeating it. But during the Attitude Era, you know, the envelope was pushed on a weekly basis. Did you ever have to do anything that you didn't feel comfortable with? Or was there anything that was planned that you were like, no, I'm not doing this?
No, I tell you what really helped me a lot was my theatrical training at Lee Strasberg, because when you play a character, you know, you become that person, that you become that character. So, and I knew how the business worked, you know, it's ratings, and you want to be at the top, and that means it's about the shock value. And to me, it was just, I mean, I was in control of what I did, and, you know, they would ask, hey, would you be okay doing this? I'm like, yeah, fine. I mean, I knew my character was a sexy character. I knew I had to hit, you know, my demographics was, you know, this certain age bracket and this, and, you know, it was like a pie, you know, and I filled this part. And again, I knew, actually, I had the easiest job because I didn't have to go out and I did cat fighting, you know, I didn't have to do stuff like the other girls, you know, and the guys had their, you know, they had it really tough. I actually had the easiest job. I just kind of like, you know, just did Deborah. I mean, that was, so I was very fortunate.
Well, we definitely thank you for that, because I was one of those demographics that you were trying to fill. So that was great. But now you recently, I mean, you just said that you really don't watch a lot of television. So is it safe to say that you don't currently watch the shows, or do you ever catch them while you're, you know, flipping through the channels?
Yeah, I mean, I like watching the shows, but it's just with this grad school. To be honest, I was so covered up with writing papers, and so I might have the TV on like in the background if I'm flipping, just to have something going. And I will say, if I flip and it's on, I will stop and like watch for a little bit, and then I gotta get back to writing, you know. But it's funny how, it's entertaining, and it's always nice when I flipping the channels and I see, and it's somebody that I worked with back in the day or somebody I know, and that's always nice.
Now, the big thing that everybody's talking about now is the WWE Network. It's, you know, it's a huge thing, and now all these new people who may not have gotten to see your body of work live can go back through and see that. Does that make you feel good, or how? I mean, how does that make you feel that maybe, you know, thousands of people will now get to see Deborah that may not have, you know, prior to this?
No, I think it's just really good for the business, because even for the, you know, everyone that worked during the Attitude Era, I think it's kind of what made us the top back in those days will still bring in the same crowd, because it's, you know, I think it's a great move for the company to have done, you know, the WWE Network. I mean, I think it's wonderful, because now people can see, oh, well, you know, this wrestler, or this, you know, this female, or this guy. You know, it's kind of just, we can still touch our fans too. The ones that would follow us back then, they can go back now and look, and, you know, it's nice to see the ones that you really wanted to watch again be back on TV. And, you know, in a different way, but you still get to still see us.
All right. Deborah, now, for all the fans out there, they knew who the Click was, you know, with Shawn Michaels, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, all those guys, you know, best friends behind the camera that, you know, eventually everybody knew about, and they called them the Click. Did Deborah have a Click backstage? Like, did you have a few best friends that, you know, maybe we didn't really know about? Or is there somebody who, you know, who you thought through the business or through the years that you were really good friends with, or you still keep in touch with today?
Well, you know, I traveled with some Tess. Did you know that?
No.
Like, you know, and you always share rides. You know, you share.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, yeah, so I would always ride with Valvinus and Tess, because, you know, we didn't drink, and we didn't we worked out all the time. So it was a good, we kind of just, it worked well for us with our personalities. And so that was, a lot of people didn't realize that.
All right. And
we travel together and like we'd go and, so, because you know, you split everything, the rent a car, the gas.
Sure.
We'd always say the Red Roof Inn. I know that sounds crazy, the Red Roof Inn. Because when you travel as much as we did back then, you kind of want something that's, you know, something that's familiar. And all the Red Roof Inns had the same kind of rooms. So it was like you were in the same room every night.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Now, a little follow-up question with that, and you don't have to throw anybody under the bus, but we've asked a bunch of people to where, you know, was there anybody that you worked with that just, you know, you really didn't get along with, or, you know, that, because, you know, the bunch of people that you work with, there's always bound to be somebody you just don't get along with. Now, like I said, you don't have to throw anybody under the bus or say their name, but was there anybody, or was there a few people that maybe you just, you know, you couldn't work with, or you just didn't get along with?
No, I can. You know what? It is wrestling, and we are paid to be dramatic. So it was kind of like being dramatic was part of the business. And I actually, it's just, we're all very strong personalities in the wrestling business. And I would say no. I mean, everybody, you have to appreciate everybody's, you know, unique in that business. You know, but we are very, very aggressive personalities.
All right.
So. No, it's just kind of, it just, I'm just glad I wasn't a guy, because I'm just, I'm telling you, my job was the freaking easiest. I couldn't imagine, like, somebody being new in the business and kind of not doing something what they were supposed to be. Because, you know, you got to, you know, those guys, man, they can get hurt really bad if they're not paying attention, you know, so.
Yeah.
So, Deborah, you know, we recently seen Trish Stratus. She went into the WWE Hall of Fame. Lita, this past year, went to the WWE Hall of Fame. If the day comes and, you know, WWE calls and says, we want Deborah there, who do you want to induct you into the Hall of Fame?
I would probably say Jerry. The puppy. That would,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
If you could think about anything you've done in your career, anything that you would do over, would there be anything that, you know, hey, I did this night, I wish I could have just, you know, maybe not have done that or worn that or did this. Is there anything that you always think about or regret saying, wow, I wish I did something different? Or has everything you've done in your career, you know, been what you wanted?
I would say I probably wouldn't have spent so much on those suits that I would have made. Because, you know, I had them custom made, and I spent a freaking fortune. And I remember I used to tell Steve Austin, man, why didn't I just do like you and kind of wear the same outfit every time? And me, I had to go get one made, a different one, for every freaking show, and I was paying a lot of money for those outfits. And I'm thinking, now if I had to back it up, and then when I was Queen Deborah, believe it or not, I'd wear those white dresses, but they were all different. And everyone thought I was wearing the same white dress. So that, I would have worn the same white dress as Queen Deborah, and I would have wore the same suit as Deborah.
Well, that's good to know.
I would have just picked the color out, and that would have been it. Now, yeah.
It's just hard to believe from my point of view that little bit of fabric would cost that much.
Oh my God, it was expensive. I mean, it was just like, because you know the way, I guess I'm so like, I wanted to entertain, and I feel like, well, the fans, you know, I didn't want to be born and wear the same outfit. It's kind of like, you know, you're paying a lot of money to watch wrestling. You're paying a lot of money, and you want to see a superstar. You got it, you know. You want to dress like a superstar and act like a superstar, you know. And I don't know. I'm just, maybe I am a little flamboyant. So.
All right,
but I tell you what. Now I would have wore the same suit.
That's great, Deborah. We know that you're still in school, getting your master's. Is there anything, because there's a lot of fans out there who would love to meet you still to this day from all over the world. Is there anything you would love to tell our listeners and, you know, your fans that you'd want them to know about you?
No, I guess, and you know, I'm very personable. And, I mean, one thing, I just want to thank all my fans because, you know, without wrestling fans, I wouldn't have had a job. And, you know, they've made my life wonderful, too. You know, I hope I made their life wonderful. And I'm so glad with the network because we can still connect.
Definitely.
So I just want to say, yeah, thanks to my fans, yeah.
Awesome, yeah. Without wrestling fans, we probably wouldn't have a show, right, Jonathan?
Absolutely. It would just be the two of us talking.
And Deborah, is there anywhere mm-hmm. where people can, you know, follow you or, you know, the whole social media world, Facebook or Twitter or anything where fans can keep up with you?
Yeah, I'm getting pretty computer savvy here with all my grad school stuff here. And finally got a Twitter, you know, I signed up for that. So they can go to like WWE Diva Deborah.
Okay.
And then, and let me tell you what, boy, those things, you have to be on top of all those little fake profiles too.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. I mean, I remember when I joined, it was like 10 other fake me's, and that is so nerve wracking, I will say, that you have to really go in there and watch and make sure people don't, you know, create these fake accounts because that's what's so annoying about. But if you don't have, you know, like Facebook or one of those, for me, it's like somebody else will have one same. My Facebook is Deborah McMichael Marshall.
Okay.
So it's, you know, my maiden name is Marshall, so it's Deborah McMichael Marshall.
Okay.
I think I have to apologize, Deborah. I'm pretty sure one of those accounts was me. So I'll just apologize, for causing you any problem. But now that you're getting your degree, your master's in criminal justice, I'm quite afraid that you can find me, track me down. So I apologize for creating a Deborah account.
Oh, I will say this. There was a class I took last semester that I got really savvy. It was called Cyber Warfare and Security.
Wow.
How about that one?
She's on to you, Jonathan.
So I rise up fast.
Perfect. Deborah, we can't thank you enough. We really appreciate your time here. We'd love to speak to you down the line in the future again, too, if you'd you know, love to join us again.
Yeah, anytime. Anytime. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because I love you. You guys are fun to talk to.
All right, Deborah, once again, thanks for joining us on another wrestling podcast. She's really sweetheart. She's really sweet person to talk to. You know what I'm saying? She's got that Southern hospitality thing all in her pocket, you know?
I mean, I didn't want to mention it, but the whole time that we were talking, she just kept sending me her phone number and telling me to call her. I don't know. I mean, I shouldn't even say anything, Credo, but yeah, she's great. She's wonderful.
Oh, Deborah, if you're still listening, better watch out for this one.
It's great to see that people after pro wrestling, I mean, there's just this stigma that, like, you know, you're one of three things whenever you retire from pro wrestling. And, you know, she's going to be like a criminology major. That's amazing.
Yeah, and you'll probably be her first case for
wow,
stalkers who take it too far after a podcast interview.
Yeah, there's a group for people like me.
Yeah, well, hey. But anyway, Jonathan, let's bring up about, you know, some stuff we never really talked about, and that's women in wrestling. More importantly, if we think about what Deborah was, I mean, Deborah came in as a valet. She came in to WCW with her ex-husband, you know, Steve Mongo McMichael, and she was, you know, the beauty pageant winner. You know, she had that little gimmick going. And then as she progressed, you know, she was manager of Double J, Jeff Jarrett, Steve Austin, and, you know, countless others. But do you think that's what's missing today? Just valets, you know, just like the managers? I mean, in today's wrestling, we don't really have that anymore. And if we do, it's far and none. You know what I mean? Like, all the divas right now, if you're talking about WWE at least, are, you know, if you look at that whole roster, half of them should be just valets and half of them should be wrestlers. Do you think we're missing that today, though, more female valets?
I think that, you know, there's a time, there was a time rather that, you know, that they were the mouthpiece to guys that couldn't necessarily talk, but they still wanted somebody to, you know, give them that boost in popularity. So with Randy Savage, you had Miss Elizabeth, you know, Deborah had Steve Mongo McMichael, and then she was with Jeff Jarrett. But I think that that is definitely a lost art, and the valet would be somebody who would be at ringside. They necessarily wouldn't even have to say anything, but they would, you know, maybe throw a shoe at, you know, somebody, or when the ref wasn't looking, choke the guy or whatever. And I just don't know if in the world of professional wrestling, I think things are cyclical for sure, and maybe we will see a resurgence in the valets, but right now we have none.
Yeah, I know, and that's the thing. And it's like, I mean, you look at some of these girls today, and it's just like they keep forcing them to be a wrestler, and it's like they don't need to wrestle. Why can't they just be put with somebody and they come out with them? I mean, you know, for the biggest example right now, I'd have to say is Eva Marie. Everybody hates her for the fact that she wrestles when she shouldn't wrestle. I mean, she comes off as being a model. She was in, you know, magazines, FHM, you know, all these magazines, or Maximum, I mean, FHM. I don't know if that's around anymore. You know what I mean? So she comes off being the model, and then they throw her into wrestling where she really isn't a wrestler. You know what I mean? And it's like, why can't she just be a valet? We miss that, you know? Like, some of the top valets out there, Miss Elizabeth, you know, Deborah we just had on. Marlena was a great valet. You know, like, what's the problem? Why don't they use it anymore? Why must every girl be a wrestler? And that's – I think they need to get out of that mindset that not everyone needs to be a wrestler. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that what happens, unfortunately, is that they see that – they either have too many divas at a certain point or not enough. So when they don't have enough, they go out on like this huge hiring craze. They hire models, they hire, you know, singers, they hire actresses, whatever they want to hire. And they think, okay, we're going to, you're going to be a wrestler now. And I think, unfortunately, that's what happened with Eva Marie. I don't necessarily think she's a bad person or even a, you know, a bad wrestler, but we've seen her entire career unfold within, like, you know, a year, 2 years. So I think that what could have been great is they have her come in. She would have been a valet for somebody like Brodus Clay, Santino, whoever you want to throw her with. Mm-hmm. And she would have gotten familiar with the fans, with the business, and all that stuff. And then they could start slowly but surely building her into a wrestler. But as of right now, you know, she kind of got thrown to the wolves. So back in the days of Deborah, Marlena, even Baby Doll back with Ric Flair, I think that those were the way that they broke in, and then they're, you know, they kind of took on a life of their own. Because absolutely, if you look at Deborah, she in WWF started out as just kind of the manager, and then she evolved into something much, much bigger.
And what's the funny about Deborah is, I mean, if you look at her, she won her championship by not even wrestling in a match. It was an evening gown match against Sable, and, you know, it wasn't even a wrestling match. So if you look at her, she was a valet and barely wrestled, you know, just had some altercations, and she still won the women's championship. And, you know, like, if you started any of these girls off who shouldn't be wrestlers as valets, you know, they could eventually get more physical later on down the line. But, I mean, I just don't get it. Like, you have an abundance of talent out there that they need some kind of pairing. You know, they need somebody with them, a manager, a valet, you know, they need somebody with them. And I still shake my head at why they don't do this. It's like you said before, it's like a lost art almost, like they don't do it anymore.
Yeah. I guess that one of the things is maybe that the crowd has changed, but for me, like, nothing says, like, Alberto Del Rio, for instance, recently, you know, released Alberto Del Rio. I think that somebody like that could have definitely benefited from some, like, you know, really attractive female, whereas he had Ricardo Rodriguez, and, yeah, I don't know why they didn't go with somebody like that with him, but in WWE, you have mainly just the divas, and even in other promotions, really. The only one that I can really think of right now that's valet/wrestler would probably be Maria from, you know, Maria Kanellis, a former guest on the show, and she's in Ring of Honor, so.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know. It's hard because it's like you had a bunch of these women coming up, you know, like from the debut of Elizabeth. You know, you had Elizabeth with Macho Man for years, and she never wrestled, I don't think, until it was like almost WCW. But I mean, she didn't barely do anything in WWE. And if she did, she just grabbed the hair of somebody and, you know, caused that distraction kind of thing. But that's the thing. It's like a lot of these women out there today, you know, they're getting that bad rap because they're not wrestlers and they're being forced to be a wrestler and they're being forced to doing a few moves here and there. And then everybody comes down on them for it because, you know, they're not a wrestler. They're just, you know what I mean? And I feel like a lot of these girls are getting a bad rap. Like, you know, we were talking about Eva Marie to where, you know, if they made her just a valet, would she still be, you know, getting this much heat as she does? She probably has the most heat in the Divas division of anybody I've ever seen just because nobody likes her. And she's, you know, she's not bad looking. She doesn't, you know, she's an eye turner. But if you put her as a valet, do you think she'd be more popular than she is right now?
Yeah, I think that it couldn't hurt her chances. You know, you kind of throw her, you know, a tag team or a singles competitor that she goes out with and hangs out. Like, they were starting to kind of do that with Emma and Santino, but then it kind of got dropped as well. So, I don't know. I just keep thinking back at some of the most successful women in professional wrestling, and, I mean, the one that comes to mind for sure is Trish Stratus, and, you know, she was a manager. She came out with Test and Albert. It was TNA. And I think that, you know, all those things help make a well-rounded diva, manager, valet, whatever you want to call it. And I definitely think that we could use some more of them in the business today.
Yeah, definitely. Now, tell me about, I mean, more than just valets, let's talk about some of the women wrestlers of today. Do you think, because, like, Natalya is one of my favorite women wrestlers going right now, not just because she's a part of the Heart, not just because of that at all, but I mean, you know, she can actually wrestle. She's a wrestler. A lot of these women that, like we were talking about, aren't wrestlers. And do you think a lot of these real women wrestlers are getting, you know, hidden by the fact that they're thrown together with a lot of other girls that, you know, are just there to be paid to be pretty in a way? And I mean, I personally would love a women's division back versus a divas division. You know what I mean? I don't know. Do you think they could separate that ever again or no? Cause it's Vince's baby that he has to have, you know, his thing that he thought up of divas, you know, that's what they're going to be called from now on. Do you think it's hurting the real women wrestlers out there though? Basically what I'm trying to say.
I think that he got scarred by, and it goes all the way back to the Monday Night Wars, and they recently said something on the network about it, but I think he got so hurt from when Alondra Blaze, Medusa, dropped the title in the garbage that he just doesn't really feel like that he can give them the proper, you know, like, he can't devote the entire time to the women because he's afraid it's just going to not work, but In NXT, you have a lot of great talent right now. You have Charlotte, Ric Flair's daughter. You have Becky Lynch. You have Sasha Banks, which is the cousin of Snoop Dogg. You have, who else is down there right now? Bayley. Yep. You have Summer Rae still on and off. You have a lot of great talent, up and coming talent. And, you know, they have Sara Del Rey as their trainer down there.
And that's what's great too, man. I wish you'd be on TV because she's kind of what, I don't know, maybe have helped turn this Divas division around a little bit to, you know, maybe some of her training to help these girls out. But it's like, man, you know, like they have how many TV shows now that they can't, like, remember, like, you know, maybe make SmackDown the more diva heavy show along with, like, I don't know, like tag teams or cruiserweights, you know, if they even went back to that division. But they have so many shows now that I feel like they could separate these guys a little bit more, that, you know, not everybody needs to be on Raw, but, you know, you could have main events, superstars or whatever focus more heavily on, like, you know, the Divas division. And I feel like they always get lost in the mix. And I was surprised at not WrestleMania, I think the pay-per-view after WrestleMania where it was Paige and AJ, or even the last pay-per-view, that they gave him so much more time. And I think that the last match where we just saw with Paige and AJ was probably at SummerSlam, probably one of the best Divas matches of the year, because Not that it was fast or anything, but it had a lot of storytelling in it, you know? There was a lot of stuff going on in it, except for, you know, I don't know, these quick matches that mean nothing. And there was just so much going on in that match that I think they ever had before. And whatever they're doing, they better keep doing it right. But I still find it funny. I know we talked about this before, maybe not on here, but me and you talked about it, to where, you know, it's funny where you have AJ Lee and Paige, who are pretty much been going back and forth for almost half the year now, with the Divas Championship. Yet you're on season 3 of Total Divas, and not one Total Diva has had the Divas Championship. What? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know exactly why they're, you know, not doing that. I could definitely see Naomi becoming probably the, you know, one of the Divas Champions before too long. But I was excited to see Stephanie McMahon get back into the fray, and yeah. I think that it's great to see that. I think she has a vested interest in it as well, and you know, as long as they keep strong divas keep coming through the ranks or whatever, I don't think that the Divas division is going to die off. But I just think that there's a lot more that they could do with it, and you know, like you said, either devote some extra time to it, make sure that they do something on Main Event or the pay-per-views. But you know, they've definitely come a long way, and I know that Fabulous Moolah and Mae Young helped pave the way for all the divas, but I really think that in our time, that you know, with Trish and Lita, and they ultimately just got inducted into the Hall of Fame. So I think that their contributions to women's wrestling have got us to the point that we're at today. So I think it's definitely something that will probably keep getting better.
Yeah, and I hope it does, because I mean, I don't frown upon it. I love, you know, mixing it up every so often. I mean, how often can you watch half-naked guys wrestle in a ring without seeing some women do the same thing? You know, from valets and managers, divas, the women, the knockouts. You know, I think they've played a big part in wrestling. Even if you look at WrestleMania, where we had Cyndi Lauper help her celebrity out a little bit in what was the match again? It was her
and Wendi Richter.
Yep, Wendi Richter in a match, and you know, that was kind of a big deal back then too. But I don't know, it's fallen short as of late. But they seem to kind of be picking up steam the past year with AJ Lee, and with Paige now is the youngest probably women's champion of all time. It's interesting, but I feel like they're still missing something, and I really think they really need to split these girls up, and you know, just face the fact that you're not a wrestler, you're a valet, you're a manager, you know. And I think one of the biggest disappointments was with the colognes. I mean, perfect example of a manager valet was Rosa Mendez. I thought this team was great. I mean, they I don't know, maybe they're in the wrong place or the right place at the wrong time or what, but I mean, she was the eye candy. You had famous brothers as tag teams, the colognes, you know, they have that history in them. And what do? They break them up. I don't even want to get to where they're at today, but I don't know who's thinking about what, but I mean, she was perfect. You wanted to see them every time they came out. You wanted to see her shake, her little shake, whatever you want to call it, the Rosa's shake. I'm just going to trademark that right there. But I mean, you know, that was a perfect example of actually them using a woman right as a valet, and then they break it up, and now it's, of course, she's on Total Divas now, but that's just because they need a filler for Summer Rae, I believe. But
yeah, I think that with the Total Divas, it kind of does something that we don't really give a lot of credit for right now, but it gets these women to be in the spotlight, and they don't have to be on Raw or SmackDown or whatever every week, and so it gives them some time to kind of hone their craft, become more whatever you want to call well-rounded, in the sense that they're more entertainers after they've been on the show. And Rosa just got added to the show this season, so I think it's September the 7th is when the third season of Total Divas comes out.
All right. Well, Jonathan, here's a bit of a lightning round question, if you will. I'm going to name some women in wrestling today, and I want you to tell me if they're a wrestler, if they're a, like, what, you know, in your mind, if they're a wrestler, if they're a valet. Valet would be the same as manager, so you could just say valet. Wrestler, valet, or a diva. Now, diva is a model who can't wrestle, So that's how I'm classifying a diva. So you have a wrestler, a valet, or a diva, okay?
Okay.
And I think – I'm not saying valet is bad. I think valet is great. I think wrestler is great. But if you're a diva, that's the bad one. So if you're listening right now, that's the bad one. So I'm going to name off a few women out there today. I want you to tell me what do you think – who they are in your mind, okay?
You got it.
All right, here we go. AJ Lee.
Wrestler.
Alicia Fox.
Valet.
Lana.
Valet.
And don't forget, in your mind, like, even if you want to see this person as a wrestler, feel free to say wrestler. So, just saying that out there. Okay. Brie Bella. Whatever comes to your mind.
I'm going to say valet.
Nikki Bella.
Valet.
Naomi.
Wrestler.
Natalia.
Wrestler.
Layla.
Valet.
Renee Young.
The best thing in the world.
Mud wrestler, I would have taken two as an acceptable answer. Tamina Snuka.
You know, she's got to be a wrestler.
Summer Rae.
I'm going to say valet.
All right. I don't know if you've seen some of these girls, but I'm going to name some of the NXT ladies.
You got it.
Bayley.
Wrestler.
Charlotte.
Wrestler.
Becky Lynch.
Wrestler.
Alexa Bliss.
Valet.
Eden.
Valet.
JoJo.
Diva.
Who else is in there? Sasha Banks.
Wrestler.
All right. Let's switch. I'm going to go over to the Impact world as they're still hanging in there. And I'll ask you some of the women over there, and you tell me, you know, maybe what you think. And for them, you can still call them a diva. They don't really have to be classified as knockout. So,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? All right. We have Christy Hemme.
I think she was okay as far as a wrestler, but I would definitely say that she would be like a valet.
Velvet Sky.
Wrestler.
Angelina Love.
Wrestler.
Madison Rayne.
Wrestler.
Brooke Adams.
Wrestler.
Brooke Hogan.
Is there something lower than a diva?
Hey, well, I guess. But you know what I mean. I figure we try this a little bit. I'm just, you know, it's curious to see all these women out there. And if you guys have any questions too, feel free to email us at Another Wrestling Podcast. Tell us who you think is a valet, is a wrestler, or a diva. And I think that's the whole point we're trying to get across is that instead of, you know, filling the shoebox full of wrestlers, they're not all wrestlers. And that's not a bad thing. You know, some of these women right now, like we said, you mentioned Lana. I mentioned Lana in your little lightning round question, but, you know, she comes out as a great valet, a woman in charge. Heck, I think down the line everybody's going to want to see her wrestle, but I don't think she's ever going to be a diva to where, you know, she's just looking good and not wrestling. But I don't know. I guess it all depends on how they're all used, right?
Yeah, and once again, if we do the same show again and, you know, 3 months, 6 months, a year, we may have different feelings about all these people. But, you know, right now we're only can make the judgments based on what we've seen or what they've been given. So
that's right. And Jonathan, I mean, we don't talk too much about women wrestling or women or divas, valets, whatever. So I kind of wanted to stir the pot, you know, get the question and answer going on this topic, because I mean, we can have a lot of women on the show in the future, and I'll be curious to see how they felt about, you know, the industry and if they really wanted to wrestle or if they just wanted to be a valet, right?
Yeah, and any of you women that are out there listening, feel free to give me a call and we can talk about that or anything else that you guys may have in mind.
I thought you were calling Deborah. I thought you had her number, Jonathan.
Oh, I do, but, you know, you got to keep those options open.
All right, guys. Well, we talked about some stuff today. We talked a lot about women. We talked a lot about valets, divas, knockouts, whatever. And once again, thanks for Deborah McMichael Marshall for stopping by and chatting with us. And if you guys out there are listening, feel free to follow her at WWE Diva Deborah on Twitter. She was great. A great interview. It was great to be the first lady on Another Wrestling Podcast, Jonathan.
Yeah, like I said, I hope that we can have her back sometime soon. She was a delight and very happy that she joined us.
Definitely. Now, Jonathan, I mean, everybody listening to us right now, if they made it this far into the show and they like us and they're still here, you know, how can we tell them more about where to find us?
Well, if you like what you heard, and how could you not, you can always like us on Facebook at facebook.com/anotherwrestlingpodcast.
Yeah, be sure to follow us on our Twitter at @awrestlingpod. That's @awrestlingpod.
Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes
and Stitcher and YouTube. You can find us on YouTube now, guys, at youtube.com/anotherwrestlingpod. But, you know, why don't you just save yourself some time, Jonathan, and just go to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com, because that's where everything lives and that's where everything you can really find about us is there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Jonathan, I mean, we talked a lot today. We did a lot. It was a women's show, a women-heavy show. Not heavy women's show, but women.
That's a different show.
That's a different show. But, guys, thanks a lot for joining us. And, hey, you've been listening to
Another Wrestling Podcast.